Hi, I'm Robert Green, and welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I have a guest on the show today. It's Damian Edwards of the ASP.NET team. Damian,
thanks for agreeing
to come by.
Not a problem at all.
Damian is here. I sent him to the wrong building, of course. I sent him a SCED Plus for this, to use the old term. And I put my building, but the Channel 9 studio, which, of course, is in an entirely different building.
Yeah, so. I feel like I was having an intern joke played on me or something.
So thanks for showing up.
No, not a problem at all.
So, Damian, tell us a little bit about yourself. And you are the author of the JScript editor enhancements.
Yeah, extensions, yes.
Extensions,
yeah, excuse
me.
Correct, that's
and
correct.
That's what we're going to feature on today's show.
That's right.
Hence your appearance.
Hence my appearance.
Yes,
yes, absolutely.
So, tell us about yourself.
I'm a program manager on the ASP.NET team. Prior to that, I was a program manager on the sister team to the ASP.NET, which is the Visual Web Developer or Visual Studio Web Tooling team, mm-hmm. which is when I originally created these extensions. So today I deal with looking after web forms in ASP.NET and our JavaScript and jQuery sort of investments in that space as well.
Okay. Hmm. So
big interest in JavaScript.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about more of that stuff after you do the demo.
So, yeah, sure.
I'll ask you sort of what we can expect moving forwards, but yep. I'll save that for the end.
Yeah, great.
All right, cool.
Cool, all right. Well, we're going to have a look, dive straight into the Visual Studio Gallery. So I'm sure you've talked about this a lot on your show.
Just about every time.
All right. So this is where we go to get these extensions that we've created. You can either come up to the box and search for them up here, but I think we're actually like on number 3 of the most popular we are, so JScript Editor Extensions. So that's kind of the easy way to find it. If we click on that, you can see the type of things. You know, this is where you would go to download it if you want to use the browser and get an overview of what it does. Mm-hmm. Or you can just come in to Visual Studio now. I've just switched over to Visual Studio Tools Extension Manager. And you can see I have them installed already. But, of course, I could go to the online gallery and do my favorite search. If I just search for JScript, I think, yeah, we're the first one that comes up. So okay. JScript Editor Extensions, go ahead and install from there. And as I said, once you've done that, you'll get this sort of list of 5 extensions mm-hmm. that are installed. So let's go ahead and have a look at what they actually add.
So first of all, before you do that, what was the impetus for creating
this? So why do we do this, right?
Yeah.
So when we did a lot of work on the JavaScript engine in Visual Studio 2010 around improving the IntelliSense and adding some new features around there, improving performance and that type of thing, reliability as well. Mm-hmm. But there are still some core language editor features that you would expect in a Visual Studio language editor that we're missing. If you look at C#, like the C# editor and the JavaScript editor side by side, the syntax is almost identical because mm-hmm. they're both sort of C-based languages. And you see things that the C# language editor does that you think these are great, or they may just sort of blend into the background, but you expect them to be there. And we just didn't have that in JavaScript. So these are things like brace matching, code folding or outlining, people give it different names, identifier highlighting, these types of things. And so we basically took a handful of those features and we've added them on as extensions that you can download from the gallery. And we made the source code available, so if you want to learn how to do this type of stuff yourself, I'll show you where to get that as well.
Cool.
So let's have a look at them in action.
Yep.
So first one is if I go ahead and create myself a function foo, like so, and I give that a moment to idle, what we'll find is I've now got an outlining region that's shown up over here. So we can see that I've got a collapsible region that's now available for my function, so I can expand and collapse that just like I would expect to be able to do. Because JavaScript is the cool things you can do with JavaScript with function being a first class sort of a concept in the language, I can nest these things, and I'm going to get an inner outlining region for that as well. Basically, this simple algorithm we've used to define where these regions are mm-hmm. is look for matching sets of braces, either curly braces, a parenthesis, or the square braces that you use in arrays, and just ensure that they're actually braces and not strings or comments and those type of things. And so similarly, if I had like an object little in here, which is something else we can do in JavaScript, which had its own members, then again, after an idle time here, we'll see that we'll get another outlining region created for that here. And I can go ahead and expand and collapse those mm-hmm. as necessary. So that's cool. I've got outlining regions, which is fantastic. Next thing is brace highlighting. So if I put my caret next to this brace here, you can see that we're highlighting the closing mm-hmm. brace down here. So again, that will work for parenthesis or curly braces. Or if I had an array down here using an array literal, using the correct match, you can see I'm getting matching here as well. And again, we're doing some smarts to make sure that we're not going to match stuff that's inside a comment and that type of thing. So even though it's not in the product and we don't have the the niceties of a full language service. So we're not sort of relying on a parse tree or anything like that. This is basic string matching. We are leveraging a few things to at least figure out this type of stuff, which is kind of nice, which meant we could add a band. So that was outlining and brace matching. One of the other really big ones that I find, probably the most useful thing that I find in big files, is identifier highlighting. So if I come down here and invoke this bar function now, and I put my cursor over that, what we'll find is we're getting all instances of that highlighter, being highlighted. And this is something that C# has as well. And in this case, we actually alter the algorithm a little bit to even include comments, because you know, in JavaScript, we have this vs.comment syntax, and so quite often you might refer to your function by name in here. So it's kind of useful that if you start here, you can see where you've referred to it down here as well. Especially if you have parameters, like so if I add p1 in here, and I come down here and I use the snippet to add the parameter. And again, I want to find where my comment is. I can do that quite easily doing this as well. So that's kind of the three top features that we added in order to, in these extensions. Now, there's a fourth feature as well that's a little more complex to demonstrate, but I'll do that now. I have a reference to jQuery up here. For those who don't know, the simplest way to do this in Visual Studio is just to pick up the file from Solution Explorer and drop it onto your JavaScript file, and we'll automatically create the reference for you at the top. And what that does is give you IntelliSense for anything that's in that file. So if I hit $, you'll note that I'm getting a very large tooltip here. But if anyone doesn't have these extensions installed, they'll know that generally this tooltip looks a lot worse than this.
Right.
And in fact, what you usually end up with is a really long tooltip that sort of goes right across the screen and then wraps back and forward. So the fourth extension, is an extension to this vs.comment syntax that lets us easily place new line characters in these areas down here. So if I was to come along here and demonstrate this, what I can do is use the para element in here. So I can say, this is the first line, and then I can say this is the second line. And now if I go ahead and invoke IntelliSense for this, and I get my summary to show up, I have to close like so. So I've got my summary. Let's put this one down here so it's a bit easier to see. Okay, so then we come down here. You can see now that I'm getting multiple lines show up inside the IntelliSense. Okay. So it gives me a little bit of formatting control that we didn't have before. And again, this is a construct that exists in C# today. We've just taken the same semantics and basically brought it over here. And the version of the jQuery VS doc file I'm using is in NuGet. So the one that we ship in the box doesn't have these constructs, but I've installed NuGet here from, jQuery from NuGet. And if I open the VS doc file in here and scroll down, you'll see that this VS doc file uses that para construct, so we get nice IntelliSense when we're doing that. And so they're the four features that we basically added out of band in what we call out of band, so not in the main product, via this extension. And it's been really, really popular. So. Yeah.
So were there four or five?
There were four. So we had the outlining, which is this thing here, collapsible regions. We had the brace matching, which is this thing here.
Mm-hmm.
We had the identifier highlighting, which is number three. And then we had the para extension, which is number four.
Now, in the extension manager, were they all listed separately?
Yeah. So this is just the way that we've done packaging. We're not incredibly happy with this.
Five.
So there's five here for a reason. Essentially, these are all installed as separate extensions. And then we have like this Trojan horse extension that brings them all along as a single one. There are better ways to do this, but we haven't got around to refactoring the packaging of this yet.
Okay.
But it's something you want to do in the future.
So you could, if you didn't want the brace matching,
You could just disable that one, for instance. So other extensions have done it by adding a tools option dialog where you could turn the things on and off, but that's a lot more work, so this was sort of the easiest way to do it.
Okay.
So that's that.
So you said that the source was available.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is interesting. Give us a sense of how hard it is to write something
like this. So it's without any guidance, it's very hard. But
okay.
I'm happy to say that I was able to start with the samples that are on MSDN that were originally authored by, I think, Noah Richards, who was one of the guys who worked on this originally. And I took his samples, and he had a sample for brace matching, he had a sample for outlining, and he had a sample for word matching, the identifier highlighting. And I used those as a base, and then with help from one of the developers we had on the team who actually built the JavaScript editor, I turned those into versions specifically for JavaScript with all the nuances of, this is a JavaScript comment, this is a regex literal, and making sure that we allow for those things. And also improving the performance by enabling things like partial parsing, so we don't parse the entire file on every single keystroke and that type of stuff. And so the source code is available up on the ASP.NET Coplex site. So it's available under the ASP.NET pre-release license, which basically just lets you, look at the code if you want to learn stuff. So if you go into the source code tree here, you can see I'm the only one who's been really checking stuff in here for a while. If I just click Browse and we can come down, there's a section called Visual Studio Web Tooling. Mm-hmm. And then underneath here we have JScript extensions, and all the extensions are in there. So if you want to have a look at how they're built, you can go and do that.
So just give us a sense. Open one up.
Let's have a look at, probably the most complex ones was the IntelliSense Para one, but one of the most interesting ones is probably, let's have a look at the word highlighting. So this is the, when I click on an identifier, it finds all instances of that. So this uses a concept called a tagger. Mm-hmm. So a tagger is basically something in the Visual Studio Editor that can wrap virtual tags around parts of your file and then attach some sort of adornment or classification or UI to them. And so in this case, the tagger is just going to attach itself to any instances of the word that match the word that's under the cursor, and then apply a classification or a colorization sort of token to that so that it matches one of the existing colorization options in Visual Studio.
Okay.
And so it's an interface that you have. So we have this iTagger of the type of tag I want to use. In this case, it's an existing, it's a highlight word tag. It's one I created over here, which is inherits from an existing type called the text marker tag. Mm-hmm. And then basically there's a method on the iTagger that'll get called at the right time in Visual Studio. And you just basically raise the event back to Visual Studio saying, hey, my tags have changed. And whenever you raise that event, Visual Studio will sort of ask you for the new tags. Mm-hmm. And then whatever, depending on what type of tag it is, it'll do whatever that tag does. In this case, highlight the word.
So, okay.
Yeah. And so, it's kind of like, you attach to events on the editor, you listen for changes, like people mm-hmm. type or they scroll, you listen for those type of things, and you determine what you do based on the user action.
Okay, so could you sort of base, let's say I wanted to write an extension that I would at some point like to see or mm-hmm. perhaps even write, mm-hmm. would be something that would parse your code and then highlight fields, members, variables, whatever that don't match your naming conventions.
Right.
So things that begin with TXT
or
like a style things that
copy
are
type thing.
Camel case when you want to use Pascal case. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the first episodes I used Gizmo Ball. I haven't seen that.
No?
I think it's an internal app, and one of the first few comments were, "Oh, look at that naming convention."
Oh, right,
things were started with lowercase.
Yep.
And so could I start with this code, and mm-hmm. then I'd have to figure out code that would actually parse through the code, but then I just want things highlighted.
So you certainly could, because this essentially is doing a forward-only seek kind of through the file at any one point in time.
Okay.
And so you could certainly do that, and there are built-in sort of APIs in Visual Studio for doing things like finding the extent of a word.
Right.
So you give it a point in the editor, and you say, okay, find me where, if I'm in a word, give me the range that gives is that whole word, and you can mm-hmm. use those APIs to sort of do that type of thing. But if you just wanted to build a parse tree as a result of looking at the file, you could certainly do that yourself.
Right.
In fact, there's an extension by a community member called JS Parser, I think, which he does something very very similar.
Yeah. Okay.
But then he displays it in Visual Studio as another tool window, sort of like a Solution Explorer, but it's a document outline for your JavaScript file, functions and names and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he does something very similar.
Okay. Hmm. Cool. So these were relatively straightforward to build once you figured out how to get started?
Once I figured out how to get started, I'd never done any development in Visual Studio APIs before, but mm-hmm. I had the advantage of having the resources of Microsoft at my disposal and working on a team who built the editor. But I will say most of the coding was done on the bus, like in the morning and in the afternoon on the way to and from work.
Okay.
And then, every now and then I'd jump into a developer's office for 10 minutes and they'd help me unstick me sort of thing.
Right.
So, I think this would be a good place to start if you want to learn about how these type of things works, the structures within the APIs and what's possible in the editor. And as I said, I started with the MSDN samples, so they're a good place to start as well.
Mm. So what other extensions would you recommend people use if they're into JavaScript.
So there's another one. So there's the one I mentioned, which I think was called JS Parser, I think. I'm going to have a look. JavaScript Parser, okay. There you go. So that one's quite popular, 37,000 mm-hmm. downloads. The other one that's very popular is JS Enhancements. This has a bunch of similar features to ours, but we have some things that this one doesn't, and vice versa as well.
Okay.
And I do know people are using the two of them together. They mm-hmm. just turn off some of, you know, whatever ones they want to use, they turn off the conflicting one and the other one.
Right.
So I think this one, for instance, supports regions, like collapsible, you know, defining your own regions, whereas we don't, okay. you know, we don't have that yet. And so things like
so you,
that.
So can you use them together? Do they interfere with each other?
Well,
I know that sometimes enhancements can interfere with
sure,
each other.
Sure, they can. They can.
Or so I've been told.
Yeah. I mean, they're all going to run happily in the same space.
Yeah.
But if there are subtle differences in how they determine what's an outlining region, then you know, you're going to have both of them saying, I want this to be an outlining region, and mm-hmm. maybe the other one is like one character off, and you're going to have like two. So
right.
generally what will happen is if you want to use some features from this and some features from ours, you just enable and disable
sure.
the, you know, the corresponding conflicting features. And I know people who are doing that.
Right.
But we certainly want to, you know, we're interested in what this community member, Bender, has done.
Yep.
And, you know, we take that as inspiration for ours and for the next version of the product as well.
Yeah, 34,000 downloads.
Yeah, so, I mean,
that's pretty popular
as well, yeah.
Okay. And then we were talking earlier about the one that Mads did.
Yeah, so the other one that our team has put out, which I wanted to mention because it has some JavaScript stuff as well. If we go back to the front page, I think he's on page number 2.
Oh, wow.
Rivalry going on there.
Is
this the Web Standards Update for Microsoft Visual Studio 2010 Service Pack 1. So if you didn't get from all that what you need, you do need to have Service Pack 1 installed. But what this will do is basically go and update all the schemas that are used in Visual Studio to give you IntelliSense and validation of your HTML, CSS, and JavaScript.
Okay.
And so...
I'm hoping to get Mads on... hopefully
great.
On a show soon to show us this.
So if I quickly have a look at this... Let's have a look. Web developer, or web standards, right? Web standards update. Oh, and I can't find it because I'm looking in installed extensions.
Right,
that'll do it for me. Web standards update. And I go ahead and download this one. Ah, now this one's an MSI. It's a little bit different because it has to actually update some files that sort of exist in the Visual Studio installation path.
Okay.
But I just want to quickly show the JavaScript stuff in here. Basically what we've done is updated the schemas to include some of the new APIs in browsers that came out sort of after we did, you know, Visual Studio 2010. So these include things like geolocation and the query selector API and document storage, those type of things that people might be using. And today, there's really no way for you to get IntelliSense for those because they live off the native browser objects in your... in your JavaScript. And so if I go ahead and save this and just open this up again, you can't add those to document, you can't add those to window just in your JavaScript file. They really need to be supported by Visual Studio. So now what we should see if I come in here, if I say document dot and I do something like this, you can see I'm getting new things like the query, the query selector API is now there on the document object for me because we've got this update installed. So, yeah.
Okay.
Some
cool
stuff.
A taste of what we hope to get Mads on here to show us.
For
okay,
sure.
So now you're on the spot.
VNext. I know you're
Visual
ask me.
Studio VNext, the official code name for the next version of Visual Studio.
Yes.
So what are we going to see in terms of JavaScript, in terms of web? You mentioned that you're working on web forms.
Mm-hmm.
Spill some beans.
So I can say that, you know, JavaScript is very important to Microsoft. I mean, I think that's fairly obvious. I mean, it's always been important, but even more so moving forward with some of the tidbits that we've seen come out about things that we may or may not be doing. And certainly just in the web development space, JavaScript is a really, really big deal. And so things like ECMAScript 5, you're going to see us support, you know, ES5 in the editor and in the IntelliSense engine. So some of those constructs like the getters and setters and strict mode and those type of things will be on it. You'll see just general improvements, performance, more accurate IntelliSense. We still have cases today with quirks in the IntelliSense engine where sometimes the type's not defined correctly or things like that. You should see a lot of those things improved. You'll also see some, you know, improved extensibility, which is really, really good too. And things like the format of the VS doc file. So I quickly sort of jumped in here before. Today, JavaScript, you know, JavaScript doesn't have a concept of overloads. You can do it logically because, you know, we have this arguments object that gets passed into a JavaScript function. But the best we can do today in the editor is, you know, as I showed before, we just give you this huge tooltip that says, here's all the possible ways you could call this function. Wouldn't it be nice if we could actually emulate a, like a static overload type construct? Mm. We're looking at doing that type of stuff as well. So this would be more like C#. You could sort of up down between the different overloads for a signature. Navigation is a really big customer ask. So go to definition and find all references. We're looking at that type of stuff as well. Yeah, so like, you know, general improvements, better formatting.
What about one of the first extension that that I showed on the show was the productivity power tools.
Right.
And one of the cool things in there is you go to the solution navigator and you open up a file and you hover over the class or you expand the class and then you see all
what's
of the,
inside of it.
Yeah, what about that?
So we have had threads about that. I don't know if we're anywhere towards committing to that yet, but I would love to see us
that
do that for JavaScript. Like if I could, you know, click here and then see all my functions and my global variables defined
or
in here.
Or at least
and
do
just
an
drill
extension.
Through.
Do the JavaScript.
Right.
Power tools or something
for next vNext, right?
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure that team would be happy to give you the code for that.
Yeah, sure, sure, of course not. Oh, I mean, of course they would. But yeah, I mean, talking about extensions, you know, the ones that we have out now, we do plan to have, you know, some more features. Mm-hmm. We do want to be before Visual Studio vNext because, you know, a lot of people are still using this version, of course, and will be for a while.
Right.
So the next one we're looking at is improving IntelliSense around figuring out what other JavaScript files do you possibly have a reference to. So I showed at the beginning that you can have this user gesture of dragging a file onto here and we'll create this reference for you. But that can
Is that a feature of Visual Studio?
Yeah, that's a feature of Visual Studio that a lot of people just don't realize.
Yeah.
We have a snippet as well, so you can just do ref and tab and then you can fill it out that way. So one of the things, but this is kind of annoying if you have a very complex project with lots of files having to maintain these references. Mm-hmm. And also there are certain cases where we just don't support that. So if you're in a user control, say in web forms, there's no way for you to say in the user control, well, my master page that I will eventually be rendered on has this reference. Like, we don't know that at this point in time. So we're looking at ways to improve that. And so one of the ideas we have is you could have a file in your scripts folder here with a special name. And then inside that file, you could have as many of these /// references as you like.
Uh-huh.
And any of them that are in this special file will just give you IntelliSense for that anywhere in your project.
Excellent.
We call it implicit references.
Right.
They're just always there. That's a really, really big feature ask, and we're looking to see how we could do that in an extension.
Yeah, that's almost the equivalent of adding a reference, right? You add reference to the project, and you
and
add
it just appears everywhere.
To script.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. So, that'll do it for today.
Okay.
When we're ready to show more of Visual Studio vNext, we'll do several episodes on this show of showing features. We'll definitely have you back.
Great. We'd love to
show us the stuff you're going to be working on.
Okay.
But thanks a lot for
having
coming on. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.